We're talking with Roger Bernard with Inform Economics. And Roger, interesting times that we live in right now for agriculture, watching Washington, D.C. Lots of indecision, obviously a lot of politics, uncertainty as far as if we'll get anything done this year. A couple of things on kind of the agenda for most of these agricultural groups that they want to see done. GMO labeling, TPP are a couple of them I know that are out there right now.
Yeah. GMO labeling, where we're going to see kind of how the rubber might meet the road on that, at least in the Senate, is going to be, on March 1 when the Senate Ag Committee marks up the proposal by Senator Roberts, the chair of the Senate Ag Committee, that would basically prevent this a patchwork of state labeling laws from going into effect and instead backing a voluntary approach. Now, that's not necessarily going to set well with some people. I think the key lawmaker to watch as that session unfolds is going to be Debbie Stabenow, the Democrat from Michigan, the ranking member on the panel. How she comes down on this issue could be very important for what happens on that panel. But one would have the expectation that at least the session that was postponed from last week is now on the schedule again. That may be a signal that Mr. Roberts believes he has enough votes for his plan to move it forward. Then you got to look at the full Senate and see just exactly where we arrive there. That may be a little bit more difficult because there's a lot of feedback on that. Recall they tried to get this into the budget agreement at the end of last year. They were not able to do that. So it's going to be a challenge, for agriculture to get this going. I think the House side's on record. I think they would go along with a voluntary approach and barring that state, patchwork from going in place. But, we've got a very limited amount of time for this thing because of all the labeling. You can't have a decision come up on this one, June 30 with a law that starts July 1 in Vermont because those labels don't get printed overnight. So there's got to be some action. Now, if it falters on the congressional side, then you got to shift your attention back to USDA. Mr. Vilsack, Secretary of Agriculture, has already had a couple of meetings with the food industry and a lot of the players in there. And not much has come out of those, which is interesting in the circles of Washington, because that means maybe something may have happened or some common ground's been found there, and nobody's talking about it. So we'll see what happens in the Senate. If that doesn't go forward, then you've got to shift your attention back to USDA and see what Mr. Vilsack and company can come up with in partnership with the players in this situation.
I guess the third area is we still have some litigation out there, but who knows what the timetable on the court action there.
Yeah, that's when you get things into the courts, there's generally accepted timelines when people think there's decisions coming, but things can always crop up that somehow delay, prevent, etc. So, we've got legislative side, we've got the potential for a regulatory move, and we've still got that court challenge floating out there too. Now, on Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, TPP, I know that's one ag wants. It's largely going to be beneficial for agriculture, okay? It's not a win-win for everybody, but no trade agreement is. But it's still, I think, a net positive for agriculture. Here is where politics, I think, is coming into play big time. Senate Majority Leader McConnell from Kentucky says he will not present it before his chamber before the November election. Doesn't want his side, at least, and I think several Democrats, too, to have to take a vote right before the elections like that. The House side, too, Mr. Ryan, Speaker of the House, has misgivings about the agreement. He doesn't think there's the votes. Frankly, if the vote were held today, I don't think it would pass either. Mm-hmm. Then we've got to look at what happens in the elections, because there's even talk of we could have it in a lame duck session. But should the Democrats wrest control of the Senate, Mr. McConnell may even say, okay, fine, Democrats, you're in charge now coming up. Guess what? You take care of TPP. Then that's going to challenge the administration and Democrats in Congress to do the right thing and get that agreement, through. I think in the end it will. It's just maybe a question of time, but for sure it's not coming before those November elections.
Seems like we're seeing it's harder and harder. A sell. We're really getting some lawmakers out there getting more outspoken about their misgivings over these type of trade deals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's getting harder and harder to sell trade deals in Congress because of some of the other issues that come up, like the Chinese currency issue. That's sort of one of the real undercurrents in this one. Now, there is a side letter to the TPP agreement dealing that addresses currency issues. Now, a lot of lawmakers are quick to say, well, those don't mean a thing. Well, let's just think back to NAFTA. Let's think back to sugar, another one of those infamous side letters on a trade deal. That has had some impact in what has happened in terms of sugar trade. So lawmakers just dismiss side letters out of hand, maybe a little bit short-sighted in doing that.
WOTUS. Clearly, it's right now in the courts. We've heard a lot of different ideas about how solid this injunction or stay is from coming out of the Cincinnati court. With them kind of coordinating a lot of the litigation now, does that give you maybe some ideas that maybe this thing will stay in place through the remainder of the Obama presidency?
That the stay, the halt to implementing WOTUS, right. Yes, until we get these court things sorted out. And right now, the really battle is who's going to get to hear the arguments, not even what the arguments are, but who gets to hear them and in which court. The Sixth Court is one. The 11th Circuit Court said, okay, we're not going to deal with this until the Sixth Circuit Court does. And there was expected to be some word from them, but that seems to now kind of been thrown in limbo a little bit. So, as long as there's not a decision, WOTUS is on hold. Lawmakers on the Hill, and bipartisan lawmakers on the Hill, have made it very clear. They are not happy with it. Representative David Scott, the Democrat from Georgia, flat out told, Gina McCarthy, the administrative EPA, let's face it, you broke the law, come clean. In terms of the Twitter campaign that EPA ran. Now, I've never heard a government official sit before a committee, especially an agriculture committee, and say, I'll get back to you as many times as she did in front of the House Ag Committee. Mm-hmm. Now, getting the House wrapped around and supportive of doing something to halt WOTUS, that's going to be easy. It's the Senate side again that's going to be your difficult spot. That was another one of those possibilities for that late December, for the December budget package that was kept out of there as well because the administration said no and the Democrats fell in line. So getting that through the Senate, again, is going to be your challenge.
Right. House Ag Committee just the last few days had a rather interesting hearing. Star of the show had to be this continued argument over who can do what regarding cottonseed and the designation as an other oil seed, kind of testy between Mr. Conaway and Mr. Vilsack.
Oh yeah, it definitely is. And the cotton folks, they think it's pretty clear in law that says any other oil seed as designated by the secretary. And yes, the Farm Bill does bar cotton lint or, cotton from being eligible for the safety net programs. The reason that you saw 100 lawmakers send a letter to USDA, because the Cotton Council was picking up from USDA these very questions of, well, I don't know if we have the authority because of all this in the Farm Bill. Well, that's why they did it, because, there was some talk out of USDA, well, we don't want to go against congressional intent. Well, that's why you get a whole bunch of lawmakers to send letters to Mr. Vilsack and say, here we go, you're covered. Well, I think there's an undercurrent here, too, of, Mr. Vilsack got reined in 2012 when they used the Commodity Credit Corporation Authority to make some emergency disaster payments to farmers, including farmers in Arkansas, including at the time when a certain senator was running for re-election unsuccessfully by the name of Blanche Lincoln. That irritated some folks on the Hill a bit, so they curtailed Mr. Vilsack's ability to do that. Notice how when he talks about this issue, he brings that into the equation. So you can kind of draw some conclusions there about maybe what Mr. Vilsack really wants out of this whole situation. But, yeah, this is clearly a testy one between the Hill and between USDA. They each have their legal readings of this that the other side totally disagrees with. And that's unusual, it seems like, in the world of agriculture. We're usually bipartisan, and I don't think this is a partisan issue necessarily even either, because ag has still been able to be bipartisan for the most part. But this is just a clear difference of philosophy between the Hill and this administration.
Finally. Elections. What? I know we could talk forever on that, but kind of summarize for us what's out there, what's at stake in relationship to our agricultural community.
Well, for agriculture, I think the main topic that's emerged for agriculture has been ethanol. And that's been the focus of Mr. Cruz and his stance against ethanol. And, you know, it didn't take but about three or four campaign stops where he was targeted along the way every day in Iowa for him to massage his views just a bit on the topic of ethanol. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, keep in mind the authority under law goes through 2022. So that's 5 years after the next president, or, you know, about 5 years after the next president takes office. The first thing to remember about Mr. Cruz is, in order for him to impact that, he would have to become president. That's no guarantee as of yet. Second thing is, there's kind of a murky situation out there of what happens afterwards, because really, most readings of law is it's up to then to EPA to operate the RFS 2022 forward. So that's kind of added another little layer in here. As far as other farm program issues, agriculture has really not been the front and center topic. Even in Iowa, ethanol was the issue. You know, you had our governor in Iowa wade into it and everything. So that's really been the biggest one. Now, as far as election impacts for agriculture, it's pretty simple to tell you this much. It maybe not will matter a whole lot who becomes president. A lot is going to depend on who he then puts in charge of, who he or she, I should say, puts in charge of the Department of Agriculture and what their focus is going to be. That's going to be very important. Then you also have to look at control of the Hill. If Democrats get control of the Senate, that's going to change the tone of the next farm bill. And the next Congress, the next administration will be working on the next farm bill. I think probably the first thing we can tell you on that is you're more than likely going to see an extension or two. You just look back at the last four farm bills or so. There's been a lot of, you know, things. The current farm bill was supposed to be the 2012 farm bill. It's the 2014 farm bill. So pretty easy to say we could run into some, you know, delays there. But really, it's who gets in charge of the House and Senate. If you have Republicans in control, an administration, a Republican administration may play a role, but really Congress is going to write that next farm bill, especially if a Democrat takes the White House, then yes, Congress will be the ones writing that farm bill.
Policy analyst for Informa Economics, Roger Bernard, ahead of his speech at the Texoma Cattlemen's Conference, February 26 in Ardmore. Have a good day. Ron Hayes on the Oklahoma Farm Report.